Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday and Sunday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives. And as you all are well aware of, we started interviewing authors not too long ago, and that show has really taken off. We've interviewed a lot of authors, a lot of New York Times bestselling authors. But we're going to try something also that is going to feature homegrown El Paso businesses. And we're going to try and feature them at least one every couple of months or so. And so today we have with us Andy Craftser. And Andy is a former attorney. And you might be familiar with his company, but not with Andy. However, Andy, first of all, welcome to the show and thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Louis, it's always good to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about Spira Footwear. Are you the owner or president, or how should I address you as far as
I'm the CEO and founder of the company. We have about 300 shareholders, most of whom live in El Paso.
Now, you were an attorney by trade, if I'm correct, a bankruptcy attorney?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And some people might say, well, you know what? As an attorney, he was probably making pretty good money, and so I'm sure that he was happy with that. But you wanted to do something for your community and also do something else as far as being challenged. And it's an interesting thing that you brought up earlier before the interview, the fact that a lot of cities are branded. Seattle, Boeing, Amazon, Starbucks, as you're drinking right now.
Microsoft.
But there are a lot of cities branded like that. And unfortunately for El Paso, when people think of El Paso, they think of either immigration or the Marty Robbins song, and it's still a dusty old town, and that's not the case.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you're right, Louis. Cities are brands, and those brands are often defined by the companies that grow up and get headquartered in a particular community. And so our vision initially when we started Spira was to build a brand, a company that the community could be proud of, that would enhance the brand of El Paso. And I'm proud to say that I think Spira is one of the companies that's based here that has the potential to be a global brand. There are 7 billion people on the planet. Every one of them can wear shoes. And we have the essence of our company is a footwear technology that is fundamentally disruptive. And we have the potential to change an $80 billion a year industry. And that's what's so exciting about Spira.
One of the things that people realize is some people might say, well, this is just a commercial that you're doing. Well, it's not a commercial. It's informative. And we want to talk about, as we mentioned, homegrown companies. However, there's also, as you mentioned, branding, and then there's also health involved. And El Paso has a large number of people who have diabetes. And because of that diabetes, a lot of people encourage them to, the doctors especially, encourage them to walk, to make sure they wear good footwear, to make sure they have good support socks. Unfortunately, some people take that advice and some don't. And you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money just because a superstar endorses something, and then it just turns out that you're just paying again for the brand.
Yeah. There are 16.5 million diabetics in the U.S. It is a healthcare epidemic, and it's not going away. I mean, until we're able to get our food supply correct, we're going to continue to have problems with diabetes. Our shoes are not an answer to the diabetic challenge, but our footwear is approved by Medicare for diabetic treatment and for walking, a particular classic walker, which is an extra depth and comes in 3 widths. And so it is important, and it is important to exercise and to get the right shoes. We're one of several brands that actually can benefit people with diabetes.
Now, as far as the spring goes, you all developed this, and there was a recent study done by Dr. Kenneth, is it Rice?
Kenneth Reese, yes.
Kenneth Reese out of the North Alberta Institute of Technology. He wrote a paper called The Evolution of Wave Spring, and he did a lot. And those of you in academia know that when you write a journal article, They require quite a bit of research, quite a bit of writing, citing. And so Dr. Rees did that. And I'll have Andy explain a little bit about what that research involved and perhaps if they have a conclusion yet or if they're going to do a further study.
Sure. Well, what makes our spring particularly unique is a wave spring. It is a crest-to-crest design where the crests sit on top of each other. So think of a slinky with waves. So it is a laterally stable spring. It's lightweight. It's compact, and compact enough to put into a traditional size midsole. So the idea of a spring isn't shoe isn't new, but overcoming the lateral stability issue and overcoming the size and weight issue has been the challenge. A coil spring would have to be significantly taller than the wave spring to get the same amount of deflection. And you can't put a big coil spring in a shoe because it's laterally unstable and it would make the midsole height too high. And so that's the beauty of this. Once you can overcome those limitations, then the benefits of a mechanical midsole are significant because it's a far better energy return technology. It doesn't just cushion, but it gives you back about 90% of the energy that you'd put into it. It reduces the peak force on the body by about 20%. It never breaks down, so you have a new shoe feel for the life of the shoe, and it's tunable. So we can tune the spring based on the size and the nature of the shoe. So there's a different spring in a women's size 6 versus a men's size 14, and a different spring in a walking shoe versus a running shoe, for example. And what every other brand does is they come up with a durometer or a hardness of the foam in a men's 9, and that's what you get. It's one size fit all. We don't do that. We have about 60 different spring parts. What's really exciting, though, is Dr. Rees's study. And this was completely foreign to us. We didn't understand this at all. But Dr. Rees has concluded that our technology actually improves metabolic function so that, you know, simply by wearing our shoes and doing nothing more, you will have lower heart rate, you will have lower respiration rate, and most significantly, you have lower oxygen consumption requirements, which means you won't go into oxygen debt nearly as fast because you're not having to work as hard. And the result of that is that the runners in the study would run on average about 10 seconds a mile faster with the same amount of effort. So it's a phenomenally important study, and it may prove to be one of the more significant developments in the history of sports science because it has ramifications far beyond running. It really goes to just, you know, biomechanic activity, you know, any kind of sport or, frankly, any kind of activity.
I'm glad you mentioned that because when people think of the footwear, they automatically think, well, I'm not a marathon runner or I'm not a jogger. In fact, I hate exercise. But the fact that what you just mentioned and what Dr. Rees's study mentioned out of Canada, you also have a line of walking shoes, you have a line of casual shoes, and you have a line of dress shoes. So it's not necessarily just running.
Right. That's what we're coming out with. We've kind of built our brand on running, but we've had a walking shoe for a while. And this fall, we'll be launching a new casual line for men's and women's. So we're real excited about that. And the beauty of the technology is we can put in anything. So, you know, we have a partnership with the A&E television networks, A&E, Lifetime, History, all those channels. And we are working on a new initiative. They have the Lifetime Network has a bunch of shows related to dance and fitness, like, you know, Dance Moms and Bring It and all of these sort of dance shows. And we're creating a shoe that we're going to promote on the Lifetime Network using our technology and tied into those shows. It's very exciting.
As far as the studies goes, Dr. Rees's study is not the only study.
There was a study here. There's been a couple studies.
Yeah, we
did a study here at UTEP.
With kinesiology and engineering, correct?
Yeah. In fact, that was the study that determined that it was a small sampling, so we can't really, you know, rely on it too heavily. But what the study concluded was that we actually reduced the peak force on the body by about 20%. So it's as if as you go through the gait cycle, a 200-pound person suddenly weighs 160 pounds for purposes of stress on their body, okay? So you're far less likely to get injured because you get injured in the peak of force. And if you can reduce that, then you're far less likely to get hurt.
And as far as what you just mentioned, A&E, that's a big deal. And like you're talking about branding, Duck Dynasty has been branded for a long time. A lot of people who never watched the show, all of a sudden, you know, controversy sometimes helps. And the fact that Mr. Robertson made some comments in a magazine interview all of a sudden it was controversial, so everybody wanted to watch the show. Let's see what this is about. And so, of course, you know, that's good because people are now watching the show, and then some of them like it. They start watching it. But you have a complete line of Duck Dynasty shoes.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of background on this, Louis. We, as a small company, we have to be creative, and particularly as how we finance product. So there's a new initiative out there that many people may be aware of called crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is essentially Facebook meets Shark Tank. You take advantage of your social networks to fund a product. And so a couple summers ago, we decided that we're going to use crowdfunding to fund a new running shoe that we developed. So we put it on a small crowdfunding site called Rocket Hub, and it did pretty well. We sold about $40,000 worth of product in advance. So people pay you in advance at a discount, okay, and then you you take that money and go build a product. So essentially your customer becomes your banker and your customer. And the interest that – what is essentially the interest you pay is the discount you give them. So you take their money and you build their shoe for them. So we didn't know it at the time, but Rocket Hub and A&E were in conversations about a new initiative, which has ultimately come to be known as Project Startup. And A&E bought some of the product off the crowdfunding project and fell in love with our shoes and fell in love with our story and made us the focal point of Project Startup. And Project Startup was great. They gave us like a page on their website. They promoted us on television by telling sort of the kind of little bit of our brand story. You know, it was really great. We went to New York and filmed an interview. And then last April, we were in New York right after the Boston Marathon. And I was sitting on a couch with Holly, my wife, and it was a duck pattern, this camel duck pattern. I said, God, that's a really cool pattern. I wonder if we could take that pattern and put it on a shoe. Anyway, that led to this remarkable initiative that we just completed, where we took that pattern and the Duck Dynasty, and we crowdfunded that shoe. And A&E was phenomenal in their support of us. They came to El Paso. They filmed – they did all kinds of filming. They filmed a pitch video. They filmed a television commercial. Then they took it – they took the crowdfunded project and promoted it through social media. They would put it on their Facebook page and it would get like 100,000 likes and 10,000 shares. I mean, just incredible. And we ended up with the largest crowdfunded project in the history of the footwear industry and in the history of Rocket Hub. We raised almost $500,000. And that shoe is actually out now. So we took that money, we built the shoe, we gave everybody their shoes just before Christmas, and now we have the shoe in the market. And now recently, what's really exciting is that went so well that A&E has now given us a license to produce shoes across the board using the Duck Dynasty camouflage pattern logo. So while this was a really expensive running shoe that sold, you know, for more than $100, we now have a license to make shoes using, like, you know, the duck camel pattern on a vulcanized shoe, like a Converse-type, all-star-type shoe with the camel pattern on the top that we can sell for $29.99 to $39.99. So the market grows from that. And we have the licenses for everything, for, you know, men's, women's, and children. So we're out now talking to retailers. We just found this out about 2 weeks ago. So we're out scrambling talking to retailers and seeing if we can produce it for their fall, for their back to school.
Well, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, A&E, and A&E is a big company.
Fifth largest network
in America.
It started
small, but all of a sudden now, if anybody has a Kindle Fire and they go to Amazon Prime, the majority of the shows on there are A&E shows. And so I'm wondering, because Mr. Robertson and Duck Dynasty started out because of his duck call and the fact that he made a, you know, it was, a locally grown, homegrown business for his family. Are we looking at a possibility in the future in El Paso for a reality show on
I don't know.
Spira?
I don't know, Louis. I don't know that we're exciting enough for a reality show. They
you
look
crazy
for,
friends like me.
Yeah, there you go. You'd be the star of the show, Louis. I don't know. You know, that certainly that's a possibility, but I would say it's probably a remote one. You know, we're in business. We're not really entertainers.
There are a lot of people who are fans of Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the reason I say that is because right around Christmas and after Christmas, I saw so much Duck Dynasty products out there. so many, excuse my grammar. So I was wondering, you just mentioned that the product is out now. So where can people buy these?
So we have Up and Running here in town, which is our local running shop, has the Duck Dynasty shoes and our regular line. And then we also have Mr. Rubin over at Helen of Troy gave us a really big, massive space in his store.
Is that that outlet store?
That is outlet store. Okay. So we have, in fact, not just the Duck Dynasty product, but we have a lot of our closeout product out there. And we have a big, big, big space there. And then, you know, people can always come by our office on Mesa Park Drive.
Now, you have also done stuff with Disney. You've done stuff with Boston Marathon, as you mentioned. But tell us a little bit about the Disney story and also the fact that one time, this is several years back that I went to visit you, and because you and your dear wife, Holly, are friends of mine for years and years, and I treasure your friendship, and I just wanted to let people know that you showed me a DVD, and it was incredible. I mean, not only did it show like the technology of Spira, the spring, but it also had some really good feel-good stories.
Thank you. Yeah, we were very fortunate enough to be the sponsor of all the Disney races for about 3 years. And in that process, we met Rick and Dick Hoyt. They're a father and son team. Rick has severe cerebral palsy, but his brain is very alert, and his father pushes him in a wheelchair. And they've done any number of Ironman triathlons and marathons. And Dick is now 74 years old, getting ready to run his last Boston Marathon. So we're looking forward to being with them in Boston next month. But that's the kind of, you know, those are the kind of relationships that we get to build as a result of having a shoe that really helps people.
And as you mentioned, Mr. Hoy there, both Mr. Hoys, that's another locally owned business. And there are a lot of people here in El Paso. If you go to Facebook page and you see the Remember El Paso When, you get very nostalgic because you see a lot of the stores that started here in El Paso and then went on to bigger and better things. You know, and as you mentioned, Helen of Troy and Mr. Rubin. And one of the things that people may wonder about because of the technology and social media, and you mentioned Facebook, what are some of the things that they can see out there as far as using their smartphones or their Kindle Fires or their computers as far as Spira?
Well, you know, we're as much a social media company these days as we are a shoe company. And so we routinely participate on Facebook. We have our own Facebook page and with over 20,000 Facebook fans now. And so, you know, we'll offer discounts. People get an opportunity to share their stories. We have an Instagram page. We have a Twitter feed. It is a remarkable way to get to participate with your audience and to get feedback and to, you know, improve your product as well. You can really get a sense of how your brand's doing by your social interaction. The great thing about social media is it's a great way to spread the word. That can be good and bad. And so, you know, we have to be ever vigilant and make sure that we're doing things right.
When you're talking about A&E earlier, the fact that you said they fell in love with you, what is it that they liked about your story?
Well, I don't know. There's probably a few things. I mean, one, people want hope these days. They want hope that they can take an idea and take their idea and bring it to fruition and make it a reality. You know, let's face it, it's a lot tougher today than it's been in past year, in the past. And so, you know, I think people want to feel like the world is not just dominated by multinational companies, that you really can't, there's still an opportunity. And I think the other thing is that in keeping with the crowdfunding spirit of Rocket Hub and of the crowdfunding campaign, that our company is crowdfunded. You know, we didn't know what it was at the time. We didn't call it crowdfunding, but we have a lot of shareholders, a lot of ownership in our company. That's why we held. And we didn't do it by going public. We went to our friends and our family, and that's how we got the company off the ground.
Can you kind of explain a little bit about crowdfunding and Kickstart and Rocket Hub and
sure.
all of those? Because sometimes people wonder about that, and they'll say, well, what if there's a scam out there? I mean, what if somebody just wants to raise money and they really don't have a good idea? But these things are monitored pretty closely.
Well, they're monitored because they're done in a social media context, and it's very difficult to commit fraud in a social media context. The other thing is, typically when you fund a crowdfunding project, you do so with a credit card. So you can always charge back if you feel like you're misled. And in fact, you know, in our project, people want to return the shoe. Guess what? They return the shoe, and we refund their money, gladly, actually. So the likelihood of fraud crowdfunding project isn't very good. Now, there is a movement afoot right now to use crowdfunding to raise capital for businesses, not just fund projects, but actually invest in companies. And that is winding its way through Congress right now. The legislation, the law is passed and they're still writing the rules. And the goal is to be able to – typically investing in a startup business, you have to be what's called an accredited investor. That is, you have to have a net worth of more than $1 million or you have to make more than $200,000 a year. And so the pool of people that can participate in projects is pretty limited. And so the idea behind what's called the Jobs Act is to open that up, to amend the securities laws, to open it up so that through crowdfunding, small companies could get funded through their social networks.
When you're talking about small companies, and a lot of companies, of course, started small, recently Hobby Lobby has been getting a lot of attention because of their Supreme Court hearing. However, here's a company that, you know, dad and his kids started making crafts in the garage, and all of a sudden it's one of the biggest companies around. So I guess what I'm getting at is El Pasoans want to know, okay, what does Spira mean for me? You were talking earlier about branding. You were talking about helping people. And unfortunately, you know, we read in the news that Hoover just decided to shut down. And so I think 375 people are losing their jobs. And the economy is bad, as you know, and people with degrees are having a hard time getting jobs. So if someone is out there right now listening and saying, okay, Andy, what can Spira do for me and what can it do for the city?
Well, we can get you great shoes and we can make your life a little bit more comfortable. But hopefully we set an example for entrepreneurs that want to start their business, that there are resources available. We have a wonderful group called the Hub of Human Innovation in El Paso, which is designed to basically help start your business, give you the tools you avoid some of the pitfalls and mistakes that a lot of startups make. And Kathy Swain, who runs that, does a great job. There's a phenomenal program that's starting over at the medical school involving medical devices to do the same sort of thing, to take advantage of some of the things there. I just spent last weekend at a wonderful competition here at UTEP with a bunch of startup businesses that were pitching their ideas to venture capitalists. So there's more resources available today than when we started our business in El Paso. I wish some of these resources were available for us. I probably would have avoided a lot of the mistakes that we've made. There is an entrepreneurial spirit here. One of the great things, unlike a lot of cities, there aren't a lot of big companies. There aren't a lot of, you know, super high-paying jobs, and not a lot of people have a safety net. And so that's a great environment for entrepreneurship because you have to have an independent spirit. And sometimes you just got to, you know, a lot of people are just sort of forced to become entrepreneurs. and then they learn that they love it.
For the benefit of our listeners and someone who wants to start up a company perhaps or has ideas, tell me a little bit about what you learned from last week's competition.
First of all, there's some really smart kids in the city that go to school here and at New Mexico State and Tech de Monterey. I mean, really – some really phenomenal ideas, and that was just tremendous. I did another one up at New Mexico State last fall. We judged a couple of competitions, and the kids' pitches were phenomenal. And you really learn from that because you're going to be – frankly, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to be pitching your whole life. You're going to be pitching to customers. You're going to be pitching to investors. And hopefully if you're public, you can pitch to analysts. And so it all starts there. And, you know, when I went to school, there was no such thing as pitching. We didn't know what that was. But that's a big deal. And it gives you a chance to sort of refine your story.
When you're talking about your story and people who want to find out more about your story, you did say you have your own Facebook page. But is there another website that people should go to?
Yes, Spira.com is our website. And then we have actually – there's several Spira websites out there because we have distribution overseas as well. So, you know, Brazil, for example, is our best market outside the U.S. And they actually have just as many Facebook fans as we do and a phenomenal online presence.
And if people have additional questions about what we've been talking, Andy, what number should they call?
They can reach us at our office, which is 838-8640, or just send an email. Best way to reach us is info@spira.com.
That number again is 838-8640. Email is info@spira.com, and the website is spira.com. But as Andy mentioned, they also have a Facebook page, so you can follow them on social media. And once again, there are a lot of good things happening with this company. As you mentioned, they have a great little deal with A&E and Duck Dynasty line that is out, and some other neat things and that you can find out about by going to their website. Andy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Louis, thank you.
We've been talking with Andy Craftser, and he is the CEO of Spira Footwear here in El Paso. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sainz.